Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, it's Brian, and man, I've got a great guest for you today, especially if you're freaking out about something called GDPR. And you're saying, some of you are going, yeah, I'm freaking out about other people going, what the heck is GDPR? I have no idea. And others are going, whatever. So the guy that I've got coming in is an expert in this. He's been on the podcast again. His name is Bobby Klink, and he's at episode 265 if you want to get his backstory. But I figure we'd use all this time to kind of get down to the meat and the bones of the issue. So, Bobby, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show, Brian.
Oh, dude, thanks for jumping on so quickly. I mean, we were talking over the weekend and you just went, yeah, I'll come on and talk because this is happening soon, right?
Yeah, as you can imagine, I've been talking about this a lot over the past few months, I guess. So, but really the past few weeks, it's really heated up. So happy to do it.
Great. Thanks. So for those of you who don't know, I'll let Bobby explain what GDPR is, but basically it has to do with data protection in Europe. And when you're listening to this, if you're listening to it, when it comes out, it's happening May 25th, 2018. If you're listening to it afterwards, you might have to go back and do some stuff, but whatever. But we'll get down to those brass tacks. So, Bobby, let's start off with the most basic thing. What the heck is GDPR?
Well, GDPR is it's an acronym for the General Data Protection Regulation, which probably doesn't help explain what it is very much. It's a law that's been on the books, I guess, for a couple of years now. I think it was passed in about 2016, but the effective date is May 25th, 2018. So that's when they're going to start enforcing it. And what it is it's a law that regulates what happens to personal data in the European Union. And it's a broad law. So it applies to people like the Googles of the world, but it then also applies to people, the little solopreneurs with their email lists. So basically it's going to cover anything that the law calls processing, which when you hear processing, if someone's talking about GDPR, just understand it has to do with anything you could possibly do with data from the time you collect it until the time you delete it. Because literally collection is processing and so is deletion. So everything in between, including use, storage, is all included. And so the GDPR covers any of that processing of what it calls personal data. And personal data, there's some obvious things, name, phone number, email address, but it's also much broader. It's anything, or first of all, it's any data that would allow you to identify a particular person, but it's also any data associated with an identified or identifiable person. So an example I like to give to help people understand how broad it is, if you have an email database where you put automations where your system is going to mark that they have opened an email. Well, that's a piece of data that is associated with an identified person. So that piece of data that person one opened email X is personal data. And that is, if you were processing it, information that's covered by the GDPR. So in a nutshell, if it has to do with a person in Europe and it's their personal data, it is going to be covered by the GDPR.
Okay. So now that breaks things in, I think, two camps. All right. Camp A, something that I own and control, and Camp B is something that I'm paying for. I've been getting a lot of privacy update notices from all these different companies, things like my email program, what have you. What's the difference between what we have to do and what the service providers that we're paying have to do?
Well, so there's a couple of differences. Under the GDPR, there's kind of three different relevant, I think of it as people, but people are entities. One is the data subject. So that's the person whose data you have or someone has. Then there's what's called the controller. And that's the person who makes decisions about, again, going back to that word processing. So decisions about how we're going to store and how we're going to use data. And then you have the processor is the person who actually does that. So in this scenario, you and I, we're going to be the controller because we're in control of what happens to data. And then our service providers are the processor. So there are some differences. And luckily, we don't have to do as much as the processors have to do. The processors have these extra hoops that they have to jump through. They're going to have to appoint people called data protection officers. We don't have to worry about that. But what we have to do is make sure that we use those tools in a GDPR compliant manner. Because if we're not, I mean, the processor, our service provider could be compliant, but we could use their tool in a non-compliant way. Just like with canned spam or any of the other email rules, you could use someone else's system to violate the rules. So you have to be careful and make sure that you're using it appropriately. A couple of things to point out, because Brian, I'm guessing that most of your listeners are probably not in the EU. So people outside the EU, you don't have to change anything you do with respect to people in your list and people's data outside the EU. It's only the people inside the EU whose data you have that you have to treat differently. So that's kind of an important distinction to draw that a lot of people are, you know, we're going to use that. And a lot of our tools are creating ways to allow us to do that.
Okay, good points. So let's break it down to what kind of things that we need to think about. And in my research, there has been three different kinds of people. There's people that are all Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Then I get the other people that are meh, you know, what the heck is GDPR? I don't care. I don't deal with those European peeps. And then the last one is the character from Saturday Night Live, middle-aged man, where they're saying, "You're looking at my gut, aren't you? I'm working on it." So where do people need to fall as far as, you know, where do they need to be as far as what they're going to do about GDPR?
Well, let me start that by saying I'm actually over the weekend, I started writing a blog post that I'm going to finish at some point. Hopefully it'll actually be live before this episode is. And one of the sections is don't be that guy. And I'm using that to refer to the first two. So either the sky is falling or I don't have to worry about it. And I think both of them come from the perspective of the GDPR is just so ridiculously onerous. I couldn't possibly comply with it. So either, oh, wow, the sky is falling. And so the response there I hear from people is, I'm just going to stop doing business with anybody in Europe. I'm going to block European IP addresses. You know, and I just say, that's just kind of crazy. Let's calm down there. And then the other people are like, I could never comply, so I'm just going to say, forget about it. I'm not going to try. Neither one of those is right. I mean, if you take some reasonable actions, you can comply with the GDPR. And the reason why you should comply with it, again, is a European Union regulatory authority likely to come after Bobby Klink because of my email list? Probably not. But if they do, they have a big hammer. I mean, they can fine you up to 20 million euro or 4% of, I think it's your worldwide turnover. So basically the greater of those two, which for most of us, I hope will probably be the 20 million euro. But, you know, I don't want to get fined a million euro, much less 20 million euro. So it's a big deal and we should be taking steps, but you can do it. It's not something that's impossible to do. And again, I'm never going to tell people that it's okay to violate the law, first of all, but I am going to tell you, as long as you're taking reasonable steps and you kind of check off at least the top level issues before the deadline, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, you can get the other things in line and there's some, you know, technical things you're going to have to do, but the big pieces you can get in check pretty quickly without too much difficulty. So you should do it and just do it and you're compliant and then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, see, now that brings up the kind of the last question is, and I know you're going to have a blog post on this and there's a lot of data about it, but let's just kind of do a quick overview of some of the things that we need to look at and some of the things I've seen, like, for example, is your terms of service, your privacy statement. You know, not every website has them. Now it's time to add that, whether you like it or not. The other thing is, you know, when you collect data, like you said, the email programs, but also if you have something like WooCommerce or you're using anything to collect money, I'm sure PayPal is involved in this as well. What are some of the checkboxes that we should be looking at as kind of like first easy steps to kind of get ourselves, you know, on the path of becoming compliant?
Okay, what I like to say, so I'm going to deal with kind of the top two priorities you need to do, and then I'm going to talk about everything else.
Okay.
So the top two priorities are, I mean, and you mentioned one of them, which is a privacy policy. You have to have a privacy policy. You should have had one anyway, because California has had a law since, I think, 2003 called CalOPA, the California Online Privacy Protection Act, that you could be fined if you don't comply with it. But under the GDPR, there are extra requirements. Like, you have to set out certain rights that people have under the GDPR. And so, again, that's just kind of a routine thing. You need to make sure those rights are included, and you need to describe some things. So if you had a good privacy policy to start with, it's going to be pretty easy to tweak your existing policy to make it GDPR compliant. If you had a bad policy to start with, there may be some work involved, but again, you can get that done. So that's issue number one. And the reason you have to do that is you have to tell, under the GDPR, you have to tell people what certain things about what you're collecting, why you're collecting it, how, what you're going to do with it, and these rights at the time you collect their information. So if you're collecting email addresses from anyone in the EU, or if you're collecting other things automatically on your website from people as they visit, they need to be told about these things. So that's issue number one. A change I made, I mean, I changed my privacy policy, but then I've now started adding, you know, we probably should have had this before, but I have a very explicit statement on all my opt-ins where it's very clear right by the place where they put their name and email address that their data will be treated consistent with my privacy policy, with a hyperlink so people can go look at my privacy policy. So that's change number one. And that's not hard. You just have to do it. Change number two has to do with your email list. And this one, there's two components within it. But the big point to understand is that under the GDPR, we can no longer, at least for those of us outside the EU, for people in the EU, we can't simply add them to our email list because they download a freebie from us. We have to give them a separate option whether they want to join our list. And that is just a requirement. People have tried to come up with all these rationales. I have read this regulation, and at one point it basically says, it uses the words utmost consideration in a way. I've never seen that in a law or regulation before. So it's telling you this is an important thing. They want granular level consent. And the important thing is they don't want you to force someone to consent to be on your email list to get something free from you. So you got to give them the freebie and then give them the option whether they want to sign up for your list. So that's how you have to get consent nowadays. Now, again, remember, you only have to do that for people in the EU if you're outside the EU. Now, if one of your listeners is a marketer inside the EU, bad news is you got to do this for everybody. So understand that if you're in the EU, you have to comply with this for all your contacts. So that's piece number one. So part of that is just building new systems going forward. So what I'm doing, Brian, just because my system doesn't allow me to show different opt-in pages based on an IP address location, I'm not segmenting until after I've collected the email and it's kind of on the back end of my email system. What I'm doing is I have an automation set up. So people opt into a freebie and then they get split based on whether they're in the EU or not. If they're not in the EU, they get treated the way I've always treated them. If they are in the EU, they get a delivery email that delivers them the freebie and then sells them on the benefits of being on my list. I talk about how, hey, I'll send you updates, I'll send you promotions, I'll send you the best discounts, I'll send you freebies, all of those things. I'm just telling them, this is what you get if you're on my list. Do you want to join? Yes or no? And they can click a button to join. So that's piece number one. If you have the capability, you could try to get that consent at an earlier stage, either on your opt-in page with a checkbox, but it can't be defaulted to check yes. You can't force them to say yes. You can force them to make a decision between yes or no, but you have to let them make that decision. Or you could build what I've called a sandwich page, which is a page between your opt-in and your confirmation or thank you page that is all about your list. So the opt-in page is about the freebie. The second page is, hey, do you want to join my list? Here are all the great reasons you want to, yes or no. So those are kind of some of the options you have available to you. So that's going forward. But the other piece, and this one in many senses is the bigger one, is the GDPR rules apply to your existing list. And unfortunately, if you're listening to this as it goes live, you have about a week to get this done. I think you have 8 or 9 days but you have to get fresh consents from anyone in the EU if you want to keep them on your list. I've been kind of going through this process of segmenting my list and doing these things, and I'm starting my re-engagement campaign to get the consents. I'm just, if I don't get the consents by the 25th, I'm going to delete them out of my database because I'm just not going to take a chance on sending them that email after the 25th, when technically it would be a violation of the law if I don't have the right consent. So that's the big two, I would say, that the privacy policy and your email list.
Okay, so let me ask you this one quick question, and this is something that just popped into my head when you were talking. Okay, over the course of time, you know, it's always been said, it's just make it super simple for people. In other words, get their name and their email, and that's it, and they add them to the list, and then they go get your freebie after they've confirmed it. So I understand that no longer can we make them confirm to get it, but how do we know that they're in the EU if all we have is their name and their email address?
Well, and that's the unfortunate thing. So if you're, well, what I would say is, luckily, if you are still with the same system you've been using forever, a lot of the systems, they've been collecting IP addresses the entire time. And so they can tell you where the people were when they signed up based upon an IP address location. So that's what most of the systems are rolling out now on how you can do this segmenting.
Okay.
So you can do that with your pass list as well. Unfortunately, some of the systems haven't done that yet. I am now on a new system, but I have data from two legacy systems, which I still had accounts with and was about to shut down. One of them gave me that capability. One of them didn't. They have the data. They just won't let me sort by it, which is driving me nuts. So I'm just going to treat all those people as needing to be confirmed again. What I did, to be honest with you, though, is the first thing I did is I found there were something like 20% of my list hadn't opened anything in the last 2 months. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to send them an email first to see if they're there. I sent them an email. And I think of that, like, I mean, maybe 2% of those have opened the email that I said, are you still there? Tomorrow, we're recording this on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm deleting those people from my list if they don't click a button to say they want to stay on my list. So that's what I'm doing first. And then everybody that I can't identify because I don't have IP address or whatever, I'm going to send the re-engagement campaign to. But it'll depend on your system. So I think Infusionsoft has rolled it out. Kartra, the new kid on the block, they've had it from the beginning. ConvertKit has this capability. MailChimp, I think, has this capability. So most of them have the ability now for you to sort and segment your list based upon their location.
Okay, cool. So that bottom line is if you're unaware, contact tech support, ask them how do we do it? And with each one of them. And I like the idea of just, you know, send out emails, and if nobody responds, dump them off the list. That's just the way it is. I mean, that happens to everybody. We get a bunch of freebies that we give away, and you get this huge list of people. And out of all of the people that sign up for that, half of them are putting in fake emails anyways that go nowhere. You know, it just happens all the time.
Yep.
So clean, you know, and I always say that, you know, this week's podcast is about email and having a list and owning it, and, you know, not getting into the technical side like we are here, but I think it's important that people understand that, you know, having a good clean list is important. So let's get into any final thoughts that you might have on this that people need to know about. Obviously, you know, they can contact you at the end, or they can follow your group, or, you know, there's lots of ways for them to get more detailed information. But what are your final thoughts on this concept that people need to think about before we say goodbye today?
Well, I would say that the final thoughts are kind of the other things, the not big pieces, are things like plugins and cookies and pixels and Google Analytics. Those are kind of routine. Like with Google Analytics, you need to anonymize it, which means you have to put a new piece of code in, but you can do that pretty quickly. Pixels, your Facebook pixel, you got to disclose in your privacy policy you're using it. If you do that and have good consents, you're in good shape. You may hear a lot about cookies. A lot of people in GDPR are freaking out about cookies. I've read the GDPR. There's one stray reference to it. Oh, and it only talks about it if the cookies are like so extensive that you could identify the person based upon it. There's a separate law in Europe called the Cookie Directive, which has already been in place. So you don't have to worry about cookies and all these disaster scenarios that you have to stop using cookies on your website. But that's my view from having read the law. And then the final thing is plugins. You got to check your plugins, do an audit, make sure that none of them are collecting data. If they are, you got to disclose it and make sure that it's that you have the right consents or have the right rationale for it. So that's the point. But what I would say is the first things you need to do, just deal with your email list and your privacy policy and get those in place. And then you'll be in good shape come the 25th. So that's the highlights that I would say for people.
Awesome. And I'm sure as time goes on that more and more of these plugins will start to get compliant and start offering you the things that you need. If not, then find some new plugins. I mean, it's just the way of the world. You know, things change. Yep. Hey, Bobby, like usual, man, you just like right to the point. Great stuff. It's fabulous. And I really appreciate you coming on and dropping some sizzling hot knowledge bombs. But this is an ongoing thing. So if people want to follow you, want to get into your sphere of influence, what are some of the tools or things that you're offering them to do that?
Well, so if you're listening to this live, actually the day this goes live, I'm launching an 8-day challenge where I'm going to walk people through kind of step-by-step how to get your email list and privacy policy whipped into shape by the deadline. So you can join that at members.youronlinegenius.com/GDPR challenge. You go there, you get signed up. And if you do that, by the way, you'll also get referred to a 3-part training series. It's like 2 hours of videos about GDPR. You'll get in that for free and you'll get all that. And I have a private Facebook group called Legal Secrets for Online Entrepreneurs. I think it's literally just Facebook/groups/Legal Secrets. And there's been a lot of GDPR talk in there, but also other legal issues that entrepreneurs face that is helpful. Those are the two best places to find me.
Awesome. Well, Bobby, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on. I know you're like under the gun with a lot of things and you're working on training and clients and everything else. And thank you so much for, basically putting a muzzle on the Chicken Little side of our brains and helping us at least understand what we need to do. That's going to be, you know, easy enough that it's not going to make us panic, man. I really appreciate your input on this.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, Brian. Anytime I can help, let me know.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.